Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a series, The Final Part of the End Times. The ground invasion of the Battle of Armageddon doesn't take long because of the superiority of the heavenly weapons. There is no mercy as holy angels execute everyone with the embedded microchip. The supreme leader and the pastor are captured and immediately taken to the lake of fire. Lucifer is chained and put in the bottomless pit. A myriad of angels arrive to earth to begin the process of restoring it to its former glory. Jesus rules the earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. As predicted, King David returns to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. The children that survived the Great Tribulation become adults and start to marry and procreate. There is no disease or death, and life is perfect for 1,000 years until Lucifer is released from the bottomless pit. This message is entitled, The Millennium. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm very happy to have you here today in the service. And we're going to be praising God as we are looking at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a good day for us. It's going to be a bad day for people that are left on earth that have taken the mark of the beast. So let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here today, Lord. And I'm going to ask you right now, Father God, that you will touch me, anoint me, give me the strength and the power to present this message. Help me, Lord, to read scriptures precisely, not slur my words, and Father God, stay on time. And I thank you most of all for your anointing upon everyone. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. And I call this the ground invasion. Now, if you notice this, that in, I would say probably for the last 40 to 50 years, maybe longer, there's been movies, books, science fiction about an invasion from outer space. And they had the Martians, they have all kind of different things. And it has been ground into people, you know, through the different movies and videos and stuff and books, that there is some kind of invasion from outer space. And the truth is, there is. And you and I, here's the exciting things. You that are in the chapel, I can guarantee you this. You're going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be there too. We're going to be in heaven. We have finished up the judgment seat of Christ. We have got our rewards. And we are watching the screens in heaven, what's happening on the earth. And then we hear the word. The invasion is about to begin. Now, probably the most famous invasion in World War II was D-Day. And that was when the United States, Canada and England, Canadian troops, British troops, and American troops invaded Normandy and broke the power of the German Reich and started, actually, from that time on, it took about a year to finish the war. But that was a big invasion. You've seen movies, you've seen the ships coming, the little, and then the smaller ships landing on the beach and all the killing and everything else. This time, you and I will have a front seat. This is my way of thinking. The Apostle John lived 2,000 years ago. The only technology he knew about was chariots, ships, wind power, water power, camel power, horse powers, donkey powers. Now, he had a revelation, what's going to happen, and how does he describe that? Well, he simply says, they're coming on horses. That's the best he could describe it. I'm going to describe it from our viewpoint, as we have a much more advanced technology, and we have seen UFOs, and there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they do exist, and it is just that the government doesn't want to talk about it because it would scare them. And secondly, if I talk about it, then they also have to talk about the Bible and God, and they don't want to do that. So here we go. You and I now. We are told, board the spaceships. These are giant spaceships in heaven. And we are boarding on the spaceships. There are television sets. Just like, for example, Air Force One. You hear President Trump says many times, as he's flying in, he's watching television, he's watching what happened on the ground, how many people are there, and so on. So we have the technology today. They will have it at that time. So faster than the speed of light, million times faster, we are moving from outside the universe, come in the universe, and we are coming in now, and we are simply going in an orbit, these spaceships now, and they're in orbit, and then we have around the Earth, and now we look at the monitors, and suddenly we see a giant ship coming in. We see Jesus Christ in that ship. We see other combat ships, and suddenly all hell breaks loose. The people, soldiers in Armageddon in that valley, are there, and now the angels come in with their spaceships. They have death rays, and every man and woman that has the mark of the beast or the microchip is killed off. Not one single person will survive that had a mark. Let's turn to Revelation 19 right now. Verse number 11. And I saw heaven open, we described that, and behold a white horse, it had set upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, that's Jesus. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And his armies, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture, on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. This, we're going to look down. Now, we're not going to enjoy this, because there's going to be some people down there that you recognize as the cameras have close-ups. These are people that lived in your neighborhood, lived in your city. Some of them are former pastors. many of them were Christians. They took the mark of the beast. And we're going to simply see them destroyed. And we're not going to rejoice in that day. We're going to simply say, I am thankful that I am saved. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse number 14 and 15. Therefore, hell has enlarged itself, opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp and he that rejoice shall descend in it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Hell is a real place. It's underneath the earth. And in the spirit world, it is real. It's placed here on this planet. And I can just see from my mind, some of you have never been to a Costco store, some of you have, and there's always a big group of people trying to cash out. They're standing in lines. And many times when I've gone to Costco and watched it, I'm thinking, this is just like hell. Because this time now, we're going to have millions, if not billions of people, simply coming down in droves to hell. And they're going to process them. There's going to be their angels down there. And they're going to simply process them, get them, tell them where to go. They're going to stamp them with some kind of a stamp. And then there are other angels that are going to chain them, take them to their places, chain them to a position on the floor. And then the flame is turned on. And now you hear them scream. It's dark in hell, yet you can see the flames. You hear people screaming and crying out. And probably one of the most common words is, Jesus, help me. You're going to find people there, Jews. You're going to find Muslims, Hindus. They're going to be praying to Jesus. But it is too late. As this goes on, an elite angel unit are simply looking for the supreme leader. And his supreme leader and the pastor is down in a bunker. They're going to find it. They blast it open. They bring these two beings out. Personally, I do not think that they are fully humans. I think that they are half satanic and half humans. Because I base it on this. Every human being that has not been to the judgment seat of Christ will end up at the great white throne. But these men go straight to the lake of fire. Where is the lake of fire? It's outside this universe. It is a system. It's a very closed system. It is run by angels. Most likely, it is automatic as the angels finishing everything up. And we read here from verse number 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, by which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast. And then they worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into a lake of fire, burning red brimstone. There's no judgment on them. They're taken straight to the lake of fire. And let me tell you something. That's a place where you don't want to go. It is always going to exist. Now I have some good friends that simply says, I don't believe this. I can't believe this. Well, the Bible says so. And I want to be more severe then try to say, well, maybe it's temporary, and then people find out it's not temporary. But imagine this. You are simply picked up by angels. You take the lake of fire, and you realize, I'm going to be here forever. You're placed, there are different degrees of punishment in the lake of fire. You're placed, according to what you've done on this earth. And then you're trained. Then the flames comes. Whatever torture's coming. You got a body that's indestructible. It is very sensitive. Have a lot of nerve endings on it. But it can't be destroyed. And now you realize as the flame comes and the pain is shooting through you where you go insane. And then suddenly the flame stops and you pick it up and here it comes again. And you realize I'm going to be here for 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 100,000 years. I'm never going to get out. If the Christians realized how bad the lake of fire is, we would witness, folks. But the problem is we don't believe it. Or we simply think, well, I'm not going there, so I'm not going to think about it. Hell is bad. But hell is picnic. It's a nice Sunday school picnic compared to the lake of fire. Now, a special angel commands a spaceship. They are hunting down Lucifer. He's hunkering down in some kind of bunker deep under the earth. And they dig him up. And they get Lucifer up. Now, he had no... If you remember Saddam Hussein... Remember, Saddam Hussein was hiding in a hole in the ground. He had actually like a little small bunker. And they took him out and they hauled him up. Remember how he disheveled he looked like? He was bearded, unkempt, hair standing out all over. And he stood bewildered. And they shackled him. They took him into prison. Remember seeing that a few years ago? I said the devil's going to come up. He's going to stand there. And they just going to have one angel. He's going to say, stand there. Shut up. He's going to have a chain made of some kind of material that you and I have never seen. It's going to be wrapped around him. And then locked. Steel ziplocks. And he's going to be like this. They're going to bundle him up on a spaceship. This time the spaceship is going in the earth. Spaceship can travel in water, can travel in the ground, they can travel in the air. And they get him down to the bottomless pit. And they simply chain him to a wall. And there he is, chained. And he's roaring in anger. And the angel simply said, good riddance. And they leave. You find this in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1, here's down to 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nation no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, this is prophesied 2,000 years ago. Actually, it's not prophesied. Jesus simply told the Apostle John, this is the way it's going to go down. And it is going to go down this way. As we've seen this, we're sitting in an orbit right now. And we see that. And now other spaces come in with angels. And they are scurrying all over the earth looking for children. Because you see, when you and I get our resurrected bodies, we are not going to be men. We're not going to be women. We're going to be like the angels. We are not going to reproduce in our next segment of life once we get to heaven. Our reproduction is done here. In heaven, no more. So, there are children. They were 10 years and younger that they simply didn't get a mark or the beast or the microchip because a chip has to be received with worship. And just like you had the Hitler Jugend, you got the pioneers in the Soviet Union, and In every dictatorship, you have youth programs. They simply groom them, and then they initiate them. And these children are simply being scooped up. They're bewildered, different continents, and that they are simply traumatized. And angels are picking them up, and they're bringing in them to give them care, medical care and everything else, in order for them to survive and to be healed. You might say, now, where do I get that from? Well, if we now just look in Revelation 20, and we look at verse number 7, and 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. We just had all the people killed off that had the mark of the beast. There's some children left. 1,000 years later, we have billions and billions of people on earth. Where did they come from? They came from these children. And they simply married, they got up in age, and we could look upon it later on, that they simply, you do not age in a 1,000-year kingdom like we do here. It could be a total different situation. So now, as we're looking down on the earth, we see all this happening. And by the way, if you want to have some kind of a visual, try to find some old video clips of Germany, 1945. Totally wasted. I mean, cities, Berlin, Hamburg, Stuttgart, Frankfurt. I mean, everything was just destroyed. And then, 10 years later, the rubbish was gone, cities rebuilt, and they called that the Great Miracle. And how was that possible? It was possible because of the Marshall Aid, where the United States pumped in billions of dollars to rebuild Germany after we had bombed her into pieces. So now, we're going to have a second recreation. Remember, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God creates the heaven and the earth. Verse number 2, chaos, destruction. That's after the war, space war. That chapter is a recreation after Satan had ruined the earth. We got Adam and Eve. This time, another recreation. The surface of the earth is destroyed. All water has been turned to blood-like liquid. I just run across this week. I did not know this. Over the years, there's a lot of rusted iron particles in the ocean floors and in the lakes. And this has been going on there are sediments down there. Lot of rusted iron particles. I believe they're the ones that they use. Angels are going to use it to stir it up and make them look like blood. The believers in Christ are told that they're going to be held in a colossal spaceship while the earth is refurbished. Angels use this time to educate the believers in governing, science, history, and a number of subjects to prepare them for the reign of Christ. Verse 4 in chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, reign with Christ 1,000 years. You and I are going to be reigning with Christ. We're going to be supervising. The earth is going to be rebuilt. Millions of angels descend upon the earth, and they start a process of cleaning the oceans, replenish them with fish and other creatures. Mountains are rebuilt, rivers dug, buildings are tree plants, and flowers are planted. The majority of animals were killed as a result of the terrible judgments, and the land and the sky is populated again. With superior technology, it does not take long for the angels to restore the earth to its former glory before Adam and Eve sinned. Now, the only city rebuilt by angels is in Jerusalem. Jerusalem rebuilt by angels. A massive palace is built for Jesus, which he will occupy during 1,000 years. A smaller palace is built for King David, who would rule the saved people from the 12 tribes. It is up to the believers in Christ to rebuild the nations and cities of the world once they are brought down from the spaceships. And the angels are rebuilding the canopy in frozen water high up in the atmosphere to create the same climate that Adam and Eve enjoyed before they sinned. The canopy filters out the ultraviolet rays and the sun and creates a uniform climate around the earth. Now, we have this. I'm going to have us read right now from Genesis chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6. This is when Jesus recreated the earth after destruction from the war that Satan had created. We read this. And every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, I don't have time to go through this, but if you look upon the description of the flood of Noah, it said it rained for 40 days. And it said that deep opened up and brought up more water. And we had so much water that it covered the entire earth, and the highest mountain was about 13 feet under water. Where did all that water go? It went back in the ground again. We have an enormous amount of water at the South Pole. We got ice on the North Pole. So all that water was simply removed, stored, frozen. It says that the windows of heaven was open. You have a climate. If you have a planet and you have a canopy around it, it would filter out ultraviolet rays. It would also make the earth uniform in heat. So it will not be too hot, not too cold. So at the North Pole, the South Pole, if Africa, the United States, wherever you go at that time, it will be the same temperature. And then mist will come up out of the ground and water it. Revelation 24. And I saw thrones, that is sat upon them, and judgments given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither image, neither have received his mark by the foreheads, or the hands. And he lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, every believer who has returned with Jesus from heaven has a resurrected body, similar to Jesus. We can go in and out from the spirit world to the physical world back and forth. The earth has not been rebuilt. We have come down to the earth now. And our job now is to simply rebuild the infrastructure, cities, roads, airports, schools, factories, and farming. The surviving children are distributed to the nation of origin, and believers set up schools and care centers for them. And soon as they become adults, they are encouraged to marry and start families. Now, you that are in the chapel or you that are watching me, you're going to be with me. I'm going to be with you in the 1,000-year kingdom. And we're going to be content. Now, there's going to be some nice jobs. There's going to be some more menial jobs. And let me just give you an example. They might not have it anymore, but it used to be in some of the bigger buildings where they had elevators, that you had a person that was working in the elevator, and he was simply saying, what floor do you want to go to? And he was running up and down all day long. He was an elevator operator. That's a menial job. Now, you would rather have a job that is more meaningful, where you design something, you create something, you're doing something with your hands and your mind, than, you know, just standing and hitting a button on the elevator. Now, praise God, if you are in the kingdom of God, you're in a thousand-year kingdom, you're not in hell. I mean, I'd rather be in an elevator than being in hell. But on the other hand, if I can get a better position, I would want that, wouldn't you? You know, we had the nickel and dime here on this earth. We don't have any rich people in our church. I never really met any rich people. And, you know, we simply have to look upon this is how much we got, this is what we're going to spend, and you have to nickel and dime it. I don't want to do that in heaven or in a thousand-year kingdom. I want to have a nice job, nice salary, where I can do things, you know, that I like to do. I never got a boat here on this earth. I had some rubber boats. But, you know, I'm hoping to be able to get a boat up there. Maybe I can get an airplane. Actually, a little flying craft instead, because they're going to be much nicer. Have my own UFOs go around. That'd be nice. Now, there's going to be some pastors up there that are running elevators. There's going to be some of the prominent pastors. And they're going to say, you know, we didn't compute this right. You know, I did this and this and that, but I enriched myself. You know, there's not a televangelist that is of any value that doesn't have his own jet plane. And any televangelist must have at least three homes. Vacation home, another home at some place, you know, than the home they live in. And I mean, you know, they are not cheap. These homes are million-dollar homes. And you hear them on television and say, you know, we got to reach the lost. Please send your money in. We got to reach the lost. We are short. And then if you know what they're doing behind it, I mean, they're siphoning off. So maybe 30, 40% go to make them have a luxury living. And the rest they throw out, you know, to the gospel. Well, these guys are not going to do too well in the next life. They're going to be on the bottom rung. And they're going to realize, I was stupid. I lived high on the hogs for 45 years. And now I'm going to spend 1,000 years punching an elevator. And then I'm going to go into the new earth. Oh, God only knows what I'm going to get up there. And an angel said, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a rag, boy. You are going to polish the streets for eternity because we want them to shine. Well, it's better to polish streets in heaven than to be like a fire. So how is it living in the kingdom of Jesus? Well, look on page number 3. The earth had been restored to the original beauty it had before Adam and Eve sinned. With the ice canopy that is now around the earth, covering the planet, the temperature is the same all over the earth. There's no more ice at the North Pole. The continent of Antarctica is accessible with lush forest, beautiful lakes and valleys. And some people are sent to this continent. There's a continent down there. And they're working in manufacturing and farming. One thing you won't find anymore on Earth is deserts, since every inch of the earth is covered with vegetation. The soil has been cleansed, enriched, ensuring bumper crops every year for the farmers. As a result, the oxygen level in the atmosphere rises from 20.95%, what we have today, to 35%, which is the same level that Adam and Eve experienced. Do you know that about 300 years ago, the oxygen level in the atmosphere was 25%. We have lost 5% since that time. Every time there's a forest fire, oxygen is being used up. The animal kingdom, this is exciting, has changed. And all creatures have reverted to a vegetarian diet. Lions roam the forest. People can pet them without fear. Bears are friendly and to humanity. No longer is afraid of them. The snake are no longer poisonous. And Jesus has restored the legs they had in the Garden of Eden. The air is filled with all sorts of birds. There are no predators. Insect-like mosquitoes no longer pest the mankind, and the lakes and the oceans are full of all kinds of fish. The prophecies of old have come true. Turn to Isaiah 11. Now, some people, you know, there today that are prominent ministers says, you know, what I'm preaching is just, you know, not real, but it is real. So Isaiah 11 and verses 6 through 9. Here's what God told Isaiah. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lay them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. The young one shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. That's a snake. And the wind shall be with a hand on a cockatrice den. Very bad stuff. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And the water as the waters cover the sea. This is going to be exciting. Can you imagine that now? The animal kingdom restored. No predators. No animal eating other animal. Not hunting for human beings. It's going to be a fantastic. You don't have to go to the zoo anymore. You can go out any place. Here's a lion. You just get him out there and say, hey, how you doing, old lion? And just pet it a little bit, you know. And say, somebody take a picture of me, will you? And, you know, it's going to be fantastic. But most of all is, Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Turn to Revelation 2:27. What does that mean? It simply means this, that Jesus is not going to take any lip from anyone. We read the following. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. Jesus is going to demand absolute, total, full compliance. If there's a sinner, and there will be sinners among the people born, God will give them 100 years before he pull the plugs and they die. Infants are not going to die. People are going to be healthy. Now turn to Zechariah chapter 8. And if any man wonder, when did this prophet live? He lived and worked between 520 before Christ, and he only worked for 10 years, from 520 to 510. That was the time of Daniel. So Zechariah chapter 8 and the first three verses. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus is the Lord of hosts. I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I was jealous for her with great fury. This is the Lord. I am returned to Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Jerusalem today is not a city of truth. There's no truth in the world except in the Bible. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So this is where Jesus is going to rule out of Jerusalem. If you now turn back to Isaiah chapter 2, Jesus is simply going to shut down all military operations. All military bases will be closed. There's going to be no more young men drafted, learning how to fight. If you read from and the verse, I'm going to go from 1 through 4. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And to come to pass in the last days, as yet where we are now, in the millennium, that the mountain of the Lord's house should be established in the top of the mountains, and should be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come you, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, for the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, if we walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This is going to be the first time in the history of earth that there will be no more wars. No one will learn how to kill. It will simply not be there. And young people, we don't have to be trained in killing. Can you imagine that? A world, perfect temperature, birds, animals, vegetation. Everybody's working. You and I are ruling. Some of us might be a regional manager. Some of us are running this department or that department, the police department, whatever we're running. And it is peace upon the earth. The food, plenty of food. Water's clean. You know, I cannot travel right now to the earth. During 1,000 years, I think I will have vacation time. I'm going to go places I couldn't go now. I'm going to go and look at the great things and see what God has done. I'm going to see the former deserts blooming, lush. I'm going to go down to Antarctica and see that thing, no ice, trees, flowers. Perfect. I can do all things. That's what's waiting for us. That's what God has prepared for us. Let's talk about the global television. Now, one thing I want to say is this, that the people born now during 1,000 years cannot be saved. We are teaching them about the Bible, but they cannot be saved. Because there's no temptation. So they are simply ruled by Jesus, the believers. He ruled for the rod of iron. And they are prospering. But they are not saved. They have to wait and make a decision to the end. Let's talk about a global television network. Now Jesus had set up a global television network. And from time to time he speaks to the nations and exhorts them to read the Bible and obey his commandments. A training center is set up in Jerusalem with the 12 apostles, host seminars for the believers who will go into every nation and teach biblical principles to the people born after the great tribulation. Some of us are going to be missionaries. And we're not going to have what the old missionaries had. We're going to have smartphones. We're going to have, tablets. We're going to have computers. We're going to go around. We're going to set things up. And we're going to be teaching the people in the 1,000-year kingdom that were born about God. We're going to give them knowledge. They will receive it, but they cannot act upon it. Now, the new planetary television network is also connected to the intergalactic network that provides service for every angel civilization in the universe. And Jesus records a special program for the angels, where he simply now is stating the Father. This is a very important speech that Jesus will give, and I will read it to you here. And he simply said this. Jesus explained that Adam and Eve were set in a perfect environment, and when tempted by Lucifer, they chose to rebel against him. As a result, Lucifer was the prince of the earth until the day that Jesus was resurrected. The devil exchanged God's tranquility for the chaos of war, human sacrifice to demons, sexual immorality, and despite Satan's power, certain men and women exercised their free will and they chose to serve God. Then, Jesus said, came the church age. Empowered by the Holy Spirit for the day that we had the day of Pentecost. Lucifer was dethroned, continued to steadily resist God's work on earth. Despite Satan's actions, millions of people continued to exercise their free will to be born again and move to the kingdom of God. Listen to this speech now. This is what Jesus said. Holy angels, watch the events on earth. I have created an environment never before seen in the universe. The people who obey my commandments will not die or be sick. They will have jobs, houses, vehicles to travel in, vacation, recreation, and a life of total luxury. They will live a life of total luxury. Food will be plenty, and all kinds of sports on the table will be available to them. They will have access to me in Jerusalem. There is no crime or destructive substance like drugs and alcohol. People will feel well and happy all the time. Nevertheless, I have not removed the sin nature from humanity. I want you to pay attention for the last part of the thousand-year kingdom when they allow Lucifer to return and regain command over his fallen angels and demons. Watch the people who have lived in a perfect environment for a millennium. They will reject me, turn to Lucifer as a god. This is what free will means. There's a choice for each person. When they choose to rebel against me, it is not my fault. Rather, the fault lies with them. Thus, I am totally justified to cast them into the lake of fire, along with Lucifer and his fallen angels. I have talked to you about that God is simply proving his righteousness. The thousand-year kingdom is a final piece in that thing that God's going to do to vindicate himself. Notice now when this happened, it has been about 7 days since the time of Adam and Eve. Right now we are about 6,000 years away from Adam and Eve. 6 days. God simply took 7 days, his time, to prove to Lucifer, the fallen angels, the demons, God's holy angels, I am holy. Anyone rebelling, their choice, their free will. But if they do it, they will have to take the punishment, the lake of fire. I want you to turn with me right now to Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse number 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. They shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land I've given unto Jacob, my servant, where your fathers had dwelt. They shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with him. It shall be an everlasting covenant with him. I will place them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Notice now, not a temple, because there's no more need for sacrifice, but a sanctuary, a place of worship. My tabernacles shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, but my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. God is going to use the children that survive. They're going to be children that are of the different tribes of Israel. They'll be separated, taken to Israel. They will multiply. And again, God will set up Israel as he promised. King David will rule over them. Notice now, this is important, notice this. We are going to a new earth later. There is no land like Israel. All the promises that God gave to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and the others, they are for this earth. When this earth is over, the 1,000 years is gone, then the 12 tribes will not have these promises longer. We're going to be now in the New Jerusalem and the new planet, which I'll talk about next time. There's going to be new technologies, and it's going to be a fantastic time. So, what I want to share with you then is, as we close this down, let's look upon Isaiah 65 quickly. Isaiah 65. So what you're learning here today is simply this. You will remember what I told you today. I'm going to meet you in a 1,000-year kingdom. And I'm going to say, okay, I'd like to find out what kind of job you got. And I'm going to say, well, praise the Lord. You got a nice job. And you're going to say, well, you scared the hell out of me in church, so I really whipped myself into shape. Well, praise the Lord. Isaiah, we're going to go to chapter, let me see what I was here now. Isaiah 65:19. Have you read this? And I will rejoice at Jerusalem and joy for my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more dance at infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant another eat. For the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and the offspring with him. And it come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is going to be a fantastic time. Now, every nation, now you and I are going to be part of ruling. And I believe that there's going to be a police department, but they're going to be believers, because he's not trusting the other people. And I'm going to close in the scripture here in Zechariah chapter 14. We're going to pick it up here from verse number 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King of the Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. In other words, God is going to require the people at that time, once a year, to travel to Jerusalem, not so much to see King David as to see Jesus and to worship him. Let me try right now just to summarize this very quickly. Here's what I'm telling you, what the Bible tells you. The Antichrist, the false prophet, going to go to the lake of fire. Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. There are going to be no demons, no fallen angels. You and I are going to have our resurrected bodies. We will be able to eat and enjoy things. We're going to rule. The world is going to be perfect. Absolutely perfect. We are not going to be sick. We are not going to be depressed. We're not going to hunger. We're not going to age. You're going to look 25. No one's going to be obese. No one's going to be skinny. No one's going to be one-eyed. We're going to have perfect bodies, feeling perfectly fine, 24/7. Always good, good, good. Can you imagine that? This is what is awaiting us. Now, most people have really not really understood this. Few pastors are preaching it. But you know what? If you think about this, what are we depressed about? Everything right now is temporary. It's going to end. But we're going to go to a 1,000-year kingdom. We're going to have a great time for 1,000 years. And then we're going to fly off from this planet after the great wrathful judgment to the new earth in the new creation with no sin, nothing. And here, we are now going to live in our resurrected bodies with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God's holy angels. And we are now going to be working with God to develop this new creation. And that's going to go for 100,000 years, a million years, 10 million years. 5 trillion years, never ending. And you will always have a paycheck. You will never be hungry. You will never be cold or thirsty. Never be sick. That is what Christianity is all about. It's hard to sell this to people. I mean, the Satan, you know, what he does is he uses alcohol, drugs, sex, fornication, adultery, you know, sickness, whatever it is. That's what people are choking on. And we are telling them about a future so bright that no one could even think about it. And people say, well, I don't know if I want to become a Christian. How sad. And you know why? Because they don't have the gift of repentance. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father unless he's drawn. So you that are watching me today, and you said, you know, I heard this, I'd like to be part of this. If you have the gift of repentance, if you feel that you are a sinner, you feel bad in yourself, and you want to repent, you got the gift of repentance. Here's what you do. Confess right now that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that he died on the cross, rose on the third day. He paid for your sins. And then say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me. Come on, Jesus, take over my life. I want to be born again. And you will. When we finish here in just a few moments, the screen will go blank. You see three crosses coming up. And you will hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles saying, dear friend, he will take you through the steps of salvation. He will then pray with you. Do that today. Be sure that you have a ticket to the 1,000-year kingdom and to eternity. And if you do that, when you do that, would you contact us? We'd like to rejoice with you. We'd like to pray with you, encourage you. And to those things that are walking with the Lord, you that are saved, slow down. Ask yourself this. How am I preparing right now for eternity? When I was a young person, I went to high school. Some of you went to college. Some of you went to graduate work. Some of you went into different vocations. You prepared for life for a short time. How much are you preparing right now to make sure that you get a good job in the Thousand-Year Kingdom and even a better job in eternity? It's up to you. If you're faithful in little things, He will put you over many things. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for this day, for the Word, the Word, the Word. And I'm reminded of this scripture. It says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." And the other scripture is, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Thank you, Father God, for our many blessings, the knowledge of God, and the understanding of the Word of God, and relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, is priceless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man.
He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The Final Part of the End Times, and was entitled The Millennium. The ground invasion doesn't take long as holy angels mercilessly execute everyone with the embedded microchip. The supreme leader and the pastor are captured and immediately taken to the lake of fire. Lucifer is chained and put in the bottomless pit. And then millions of angels begin the process of cleaning the oceans, rebuilding mountains, digging rivers and lakes, and restoring vegetation. The land, sky, and sea are populated with animals again. The canopy of frozen water that existed prior to Noah's flood is reestablished. Then Jesus calls for millions of raptured believers. Each one has been assigned a job in the new administration as Jesus rules from Jerusalem. King David returns to become the king of the 12 tribes of Israel. The children that survived the Great Tribulation become adults and start to marry and procreate. There is no death or disease, but the good times culminate at the end of the millennium when these men and women will have to decide if they want Jesus or Lucifer. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1772. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.